gonna miss one hell of a game.
For the ball, get up! It's loose! It's on the way. Plenty of leg. Good!
It's football time in the Bluegrass. You're listening to the KSR Football Podcast.
Welcome into the KSR Football Podcast presented by Justice Dental, the only place you should get your teeth looked at in Lexington. They've got two locations, one in Blazer, one in Wellington. Your one-stop shop for all your dental needs, whether crowns, fillings, emergency dental work, or you just need checkup. You know, they're quick in and out. The best place to get your teeth checked out. Go tell Doc Thompson you heard about us on KSR Football Podcast. I'm Nick Roush with Freddie Maggard, Drew Franklin, and a new podcaster. He's new to the game. And I think this is where we grade him harshly. It's a good time for midterm grades. And I think this is where Max Duffy is going to – rubber's going to meet the road. And you're going to learn what it's really like to podcast right now, Mr.
Thanks Duffy. For having me. It's a privilege to be here. It's nice to be on the second best podcast that KSR's got behind Pin It Deep.
There you go. There you go. How has the podcasting life been? Has it lived up to all of your wildest dreams?
I never really dreamt about podcasting, to be honest, too much. But, no, it's been good. It's been good fun. It's good just to talk to the guys on the team because I don't get to see them as much anymore. So we had Luke in yesterday. The Luke episode just came out today, and we got to sit here and talk to him for an hour, and it was cool because I hadn't seen Luke in ages.
Yeah, he's busy, you know, going to class.
Busy winning games.
Winning football games.
Remington Award watch. Just came out today, and he's on it.
Oh, nice.
He's super annoyed he didn't make the FCA Good Works team, whatever it's called, because it's $30,000 per person, Horsey got it.
He made it last year, the last year before they started giving out money, that's the college football award you want to win.
And he was saying, like, Courtney Love's won it twice, and, well, he would have had $60,000.
Oh,
if
my gosh.
If these rules are in, yeah.
Man, life has changed.
Yeah, Freddie, you didn't get any awards. The Rotary Club.
Pat on the back.
Yeah. We got $30 every Friday to eat on because our dining facility was shut down.
Oh.
So you had to survive 2 days on $30.
Times have changed.
You know what? That was probably good money back in those days.
I was going to say, back in the early 1900s, that was pretty good. You probably got a fair few meals.
Gaddytown was a must-go to because of the buffet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you take those
call.
Little bags and sneak pizza, you know, home with you. That was a must.
I bet a UK football team could put away some all-you-can-eat pizza, the year.
They used to have a pizza-eating contest in the for preseason camp on TV every year when I was there.
Oh, they got to bring that back.
Yeah.
Well, the boys now on Sundays, Will Levis takes the whole O-line to Malone's, and their bill is about $2,000 each night, I think. So they just go to town on it.
That's freaking awesome. God. Yeah. I don't know if it's as nice as Josh Pascal's new ride. Have you seen Josh's new ride?
I haven't seen it firsthand, but I saw the picture he posted.
What's he got?
I'm so jealous.
He's got the Porsche deal, too.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Who else got it?
Player, Ty Washington.
Looked like it was one from each, which is good because the basketball one was news first, and then it's good to know Pascal got it.
Well, it's good to know that Josh Pascal's actually earned his.
Josh didn't, like, blow it up on Twitter or anything, so people didn't freak out. He just slid it on his Instagram.
That's awesome.
And I like his a lot more, too. Like, it's a lot sleeker. So I've noticed the new thing. I'm not a big, like, fancy car guy. The new fancy sedans, Drew, they look like almost crossover SUVs. It's really weird, really clunky. Josh has got, it's a badass sports car.
Oh, yeah.
Thing looks like it can, if you take it on the Bluegrass Parkway, I bet you can.
Like I said, like Freddie said, you know, he deserved it too.
He's
Give him all the SUVs.
I think he's earned the
Wow, I'm looking at it now.
It's pretty sharp,
well,
ain't it?
Because Josh got the Porsche, but Wandale did the deal with Paul Miller Ford or whatever,
yeah.
And he said he didn't get a car, and he's pissed. He's like, where's my Ford? If Josh is getting a Porsche and I'm doing a deal with you guys, where's my Ford?
Way to go, Josh.
You
got to
get like the 150 or something if you're Wandale. Yeah. Jeez. But we're not here to talk nil deals. We're here to talk about Kentucky's upcoming game with Mississippi State. And when we're talking about Mississippi State, the first thing we got to talk about is how terrible of a place Starkville, Mississippi is. So, Drew, I know that
we were going to lead with this.
You were on their bad side, or you went back on their good side, but let's get back on their bad side because Starkville sucks.
Wait, when did I go on their good side?
Well, I thought that it was maybe like an olive branch was passed
out.
Well,
the mayor asked to you know, what can we do to change your mind? And I was like, nothing. So, I mean, there was an olive branch extended. But I'm pretty set.
You snapped it over your thigh.
Yeah, I'm pretty set in it being the 14th best city in the SEC.
Oh, man. Max, you had to kick a football down there, didn't you?
I did. We got smacked. I was saying on our other podcast, we went down there with the QB with the worst QBR rating in the history of college football with Sawyer Smith.
Oh, God, that was
And he was hurt and banged up. And then we also got into a fight with the Mississippi State band. And then it turned into a Twitter war, and I end up getting a call from Mitch Barnhart saying, take the stuff down.
Oh.
It was big, because Chance Paul started kicking footballs in between their band. And so their band started tweeting at us, and then we tweeted back at them a couple of times. And I got the password for the UK specialist Twitter removed from me because of my rebuttals to the Mississippi State band.
Didn't you get in a little tussle before the Penn State game? Something happened down there?
We got into a fight before the Penn State game, too,
So it's not a Mississippi State problem. It's more of a UK specialist problem.
Yeah, it might be a Max Duffy problem, too. But, yeah, I'm not fond of that place because when I went there, we got our asses kicked.
Yeah, and it's been kind of a theme. I believe the last three meetings have been decided by 26.3 points on average, but who's counting? It's been ugly, and I think you have to go back to Mark Stoops' first game at Starkville when Dan Mullen was there, and they recovered an onside kick with Jalen Whitlow, but it got called back because of an offsides. That was a Thursday night game, and I think that's the closest game in Starkville since 2008. Excuse me.
I was there in 2008. I love telling the story. We won because they missed the extra point when they scored a game-tying touchdown. So the score was 14-13. Should have been 14-14. You keep playing football.
And they missed.
Yeah, that's how Kentucky won. But that night at the bars in Starkville, I asked some Mississippi State fans if they want an extra point shot, and they said, of course, and I buy a round of shots. And as they go to take it, I just take my full arm and club all of their shot glasses onto the ground and started a riot. And so that's your extra point shot.
Well, I'm going to be the contrarian here. I like Starkville. So I do. I like the small town, country town kind of feel that it's got. I always did like Starkville.
Do you like the cowbells too?
No, that's annoying. But I do like Oxford, Starkville, Auburn. I like the small towns like that.
I do love Oxford and Auburn and any other small town. It's just Starkville for me, and really just Mississippi State overall. I've really grown to dislike.
The part that I didn't understand when I went is
I love their baseball team.
They do have a good and great facilities.
Yeah,
I remember going down there, and I was like, you know, first time at every college town. I need to stay in the town so I can go out and do and see. And
see the sights.
Whatever game that was, got our teeth kicked in. You know, it was like 45-7 or something. I think that might have been the game that Vince, like, was screaming, and you could hear it through Stoops' press conference.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, so – Where do we go out afterwards? And they're like, "What do you mean?" It's like you go to a bar to drink after a football game. They're like, "There's not, like, that's not a thing." And it's like, wait. You don't have a like, this is a college town, right? No, there's no we don't go to the bars to, like, there are no bars. And then I've got a crew of friends who are going down to the game this weekend. They're like, "All right, Roush, where's the spots?" And I'm like, "Your hotel room."
The first time I went in 2008, we went out. We did the – I was young and getting after it back then, unlike currently. And, you know, we did the drink around the house, play a little beer pong before we go to the bars. And when we got to the bars, they had already last called. It was like – I think they closed at 12. So I did my shot trick and went home. But this past time, 2 years ago, The bar scene was a little better. So Kentucky fans heading down. There's a little square. I don't know what they call it. I don't know if they extended when they last call or what since 2008. But it was a little more lively when I went a couple of years ago.
That's good to know. That's good to know because Kentucky fans need to go around there. They need to have a good time.
Need to take
over.
Because
Kentucky has not won down there since 2008. This is a very important game against a team that's weird.
They're a Mike Leach team. Of course it's weird.
Yeah, and Freddie, my like, I'm trying not to get too – because, like, we know what Mississippi State kind of wants to do, but at the same time, it's hard to judge a team that they played a bunch of close games, they've lost them, and then their last two, they got blown out and they blew out a terrible Vandy team.
Mississippi State's a service academy. It's just – it's the same as playing Army or Navy or Air Force. A unique offense, you know, with the air raid that throws the football – Rodgers throws it 56 times a game.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, unique with a 3-3-5 stack at times. But if you really watch them, I mean, the Mississippi State, Zach Arnett's a tremendous defensive coordinator. They'll move into a four-man look. They'll go into a 3-4. It's really tough if you start labeling players because their nickel slash Sam is called dog. And wherever he aligns is what you would construct that defensive being. But very aggressive, very long defense. Mike Leach has won games, and not won a ton of them, by defense. That defense has been really, really good for 2 years at Mississippi State. Going into the Alabama game, State has only allowed 2 rushing touchdowns. Only gives up 93 yards a game on the ground. So big, long, fast defenders that try to stuff the run. Offensively, he now has, he being Mike Leach, has a group of wide receivers that you go through here, 6'3", 200, 6'3", 200, 6'5", 220. He's got some size to that receiving core now. There's no elite receiver.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a bunch of them. Now, Polk leads the way with 58 catches, but the thing he does now is evolved. Hey, that's good stuff. he's going with 2 running backs in the backfield with Marks – and Johnson. Those are options number 2 and 3 in the air raid offense. So throwing short passes to those wide receivers is Mississippi State's way of handing off the football. Tackling in space is going to be key, and then keeping everything in front of them. But this is the week, Brad White's done a tremendous job of not masking, but somewhat masking the lack of depth at corner. And the corners have not been – strong at the top of routes. Those corners, Cedric Dort, Carrington Valentine, it's going to be them this week. We're going to see what they are this week. They are the key to the game for the Kentucky defense.
Yeah, and as bad as the offense played last time, Brandon Echols played crazy good, kind of kept Kentucky in the game down there, forced the fumble. You need that kind of sure tackler on the edge, because the thing that worries me about this kind of game, Max, is that, like, they're the aggravating games are the Dinkin and Duncan type teams, and that's Leach. That's
kind of like what Missouri's done to us a few times as well.
Yeah, just like it just aggravates the hell out of you.
I've got really good news for you, though. Yeah. I went in, and so I go in every Monday and do some stuff with the special teams, and I made sure that I went and saw Brad White and Coach Summerall, and said to them that I've got a sneaky suspicion that Mike Leach has just been working, like doing the air raid his whole life. For this week, they're going to run triple option.
Oh.
So I made sure that they knew that they're going to run the football about 100 times.
Okay, good.
And so they're all up against it. And I actually asked Brad White, how many times would they have to run the ball consecutively until you actually changed your game plan? And he said, I wouldn't change it.
134 carries for the season. It's last in the country.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I think
and they're first in pass percentage, right?
Yeah.
Their game plan suit for me, I feel like what we do well, it suits us. Sorry, that doesn't make sense. What we do well, their game plan kind of plays into that.
Yeah.
Wait.
Like, I don't think they don't run it. We kind of, like, our style of defense is exactly what we want teams to do this against us.
That's true.
I think
keep everything underneath.
Yeah.
The reason why is because I've stopped labeling defenses 4-3, 3-4, whatever. I go front level, second level, third level. Kentucky's third level is the strength of the defense. You have Yusuf Corker, Ty Asian, and Devontae Robinson. That's the strength of the defense. they're key in that, keeping making all those tackles of those short crossing routes. The way Mississippi State hurts you is yards after the catch. Very rarely do they hit the home run shots. Mm-hmm. It's dink, dink, dunk, dunk. And then if you're not tackling, then they get in space. It's all about green grass for Mississippi State. The quarterback throws the grass where it's open. And, again, those corners are going to have to be really much better than they have been. But I like Kentucky's back third playing that pass. And Square and Jones are also good pass defenders.
They're due for a bounce-back game, too.
Yeah, they are.
And I think what y'all kind of alluded to is you're going to give them a little bit. But then you have to be able to bow up and make stops.
Red zone's going to be
great. And so the last time they played, Jordan Wright, he had interception in the end. No, it was Jamin Davis had his first pick in the end zone. That kept a score off the board. They bucked up in the red zone. In Mississippi State, they ranked eighth in the SEC in touchdown percentage in the red zone. Yeah, not exactly great because they can't run the ball.
Red zone's where Kentucky's going to win the football game.
Yeah, it has to be
red zone defense.
Because
and offense.
It was kind of funny, too. Of how many interceptions were there last year, Drew, Kentucky?
It felt like a million.
Six.
You know how many Kentucky's had this year?
Two.
Three.
Three.
One by a defensive back, and that was the 95-yard pick six Ty Asian had against Chattanooga. And so, I've been trying to pry out of Stoops. Come on. How you get more turnovers? And he's just like, I don't – you be in the right – the ball bounces your way. And so he's kind of the mindset that it's less about – I think we need to get Yusuf Corker to turn some of those seven pass breakups. I think he leads the SEC.
He did for a while, yeah.
You got to turn some of those into some picks. It'd be nice to do that this time around. But Will Rogers is a better quarterback than KJ Costello.
Yeah.
He's a cowboy that doesn't play like a cowboy. Keeps it concerned, you know.
He's accurate, 73%. Doesn't have an overly strong arm, but not a weak arm. But he does make some throws from hash to sideline that Kentucky can take advantage of if the corners are better at the top of the routes than they were against Georgia and LSU.
They better be better.
They have to be better.
I expect everyone to be better than they played against Georgia just because it was Georgia. But I think guys specifically – Jones and Square, who we just named, missed a couple big plays. And that Coach 30 guy called them out on that whatever that film session he does. Chris Rodriguez didn't have a very good game. I think at least the motivation and the confidence, especially after a bye week, if there was ever a chance these guys wouldn't be inspired for this game, they're going to be locked in and know they have to make up for I won't call it a bad game because it's number one Georgia, but they missed some opportunities.
Max, I'm going to ask you about the field goal blocks and PAT blocks. What's going on there?
I think – it's 95% blocking and then a little bit Ruffalo's kicking low. We watched him and Ruffalo definitely had one. I think we've had four blocked this year. One of them he kicked low. Potentially if he kicks that better, it probably doesn't get blocked. The other three, they've just been walking through our guards.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been bad. It was the first one, we put people out there that aren't normally on field goal block. Oh, sorry, not field goal block. I don't even know what you want to call it. Field goal.
Yeah.
And so they put guys in, and they didn't know what they were doing, which is unbelievable that happened. Then the second time around, Eli Cox was, for some strange reason, standing side on field goal, and they're like, what are you doing? Came through him. And then Georgia was just like, well, they've got three first-round D linemen that can just bully one guy. So we definitely need to be better at field goal because that's going to hurt us soon in a big moment.
Yeah, you can't have that. But if we remember, this is where Ruffalo became the spicy Italian meatball. It was down at Mississippi State.
I know you're not a field goal kicker, and there's obviously a difference, but how easy is it for him to work on just getting a little higher without completely throwing things off?
It's going to be tough because he probably – that's – I mean, guys just seem to have their way of – I mean, especially in a week, you're not going to fix it. Now, he might work at it in the offseason. Austin kind of had that naturally high, really high ball. Ruffalo's just is a little flatter, but I guess that's where his accuracy comes from because he more punches at it. But, yeah, I don't think you're going to fix it in a week.
The blocking can get cleaned up in a week. I mean, like what you just said, some of that's pretty inexcusable.
You step down. Just everybody steps down.
Well, and the thing is like, so 50% of them came against Georgia who have the ultimate field goal block team because they've got three of the biggest humans of all time.
Yeah.
And they just bully one guy and they push the – like every single field goal block that Georgia's had this year, they've gotten 4 yards up, which like that sounds like a weird – so 4 yards means they're going to be able to block it. Every single one they've got it, it's just been guys being able to kick around them, kick over them, whatever it's going to be. Like that's the ultimate field goal block is just have three of the biggest humans of all time, bully one guy and block the ball.
I saw too that what's his name, Jordan Davis, that for his interview today, he just scarfed down a Kit Kat, which is like,
what, just one?
Which brings us to the next segment, brought to you by our good friends at MyBookie. Because when it comes to gambling, you always want to make sure you're getting the best bang for your buck, and that's why the KSR Football Podcast always bets with MyBookie. At MyBookie, you can bet on all your favorite sports with exclusive promos, contests, and more to find your winning bet. Right now, when you make your first deposit with MyBookie, you'll instantly receive double your first deposit. It's really easy. All you have to do is go to MyBookie.ag, sign up, and use the promo code KSR, and they will double your first deposit instantly up to $1,000. That's fast money in your pocket, cha-ching, bling, bling, right there, wham, bam, slam, thank you, ma'am.
Is that their official slogan?
Official slogan at mybookie.ag. It's only available for a limited time, so don't miss out. Head to mybookie.ag, use the promo code KSR, and secure your double deposit today. That's promo code KSR. Double your funds, double your winnings. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie, and I bet that we will be talking a lot of Halloween candy this week because that was what happened in Mississippi State's last game. They blew out Vanderbilt. It got ugly. And then Mike Leach was asked after the game a very important football question. You hate candy corn, so what are your favorite candies? Very important question. Leach falls on the sugary side of things. I fall on the chocolate side. I'm more of a Kit Kat, Snicker Bar, Reese's, Twix, etc. What, Drew, are you a sugary or a chocolatey candy guy when you're Halloween candy?
I mean, I'm not turning down either. I don't know. I kind of go through phases. Last night, Abby showed up with a gigantic bag of Skittles that was supposed to not even be opened last night, just for later on, and it got taken down in about 30 minutes, the whole bag. So
yep.
Definitely on a sugar kick right now, but I'll put down some chocolate, too, if you put it out in front of me. He did. Mike Leach did go out on and say he likes Almond Joy. I can't walk with him down that line.
Who likes Almond Joy?
I can't go.
He's the only person that likes Almond Joy. Just disgusting.
Yeah, I'm a Tootsie Roll and a Tootsie Roll Pop guy. Those are my two.
Old school.
Yeah.
I like the Tootsie Pops.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of those. I will say that he mentioned the Nerds.
I like the Nerd chains. Have you ever had the Nerd?
That's kind of what he was talking about.
That's
like where they're clumped up.
I like those too now. Yeah.
Those,
but that's too. You get too pricey there. You'd have to go to a high scale neighborhood to get that.
Well, according to Leach, he shops at the dollar store where he gets sprees in a box, not in the roll. I mean, he got so detailed with his candy breakdown. Yeah.
Mark Soups just said, "I'll take any candy." And Max, I have to thank you for getting Mark to open up a little bit because Mark Stoops does not make that self-deprecating joke, a year ago.
It was hilarious. I heard that. I thought that was so funny too. I was going to say I come from a country where we don't really encourage the intake of sugar as much as you guys.
Really?
But your guys' fascination with peanut butter in all of your candy and
it's
stuff
delicious.
Is unbelievable to me.
It's
it
great.
Doesn't make any sense.
So peanut, America's nut. Georgia.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about that one.
Well, I had a piece of peanut butter pie on Friday. Mm.
Oh,
love
man.
It.
That's awesome. So Max, tell us what Halloween's like at home. Is it? It doesn't exist. You need to export it.
It's a great American tradition. I know. Well, and some people try to do it, and it's like some kids try and do it in Australia, and they'll knock on some doors and people won't answer, and then I'd say 95% of the doors I knock on, people don't have candy for them. Yeah, so.
Is there still at least like the Halloween party, I'm sure it's not to the extent of like American college Halloween party, but is there, people get dressed up, have a good time? No?
Not really. It just doesn't exist back home.
So what is your favorite candy bar or candy from home?
From home, there's these things called Tim Tams, which are really
I'm
good.
I'm familiar with Tim Tams.
Yeah, really good. But I like Bounties. I like coconut.
Paper towels? You eat paper towel?
do you guys have Bounty bars here?
No. That's the quicker picker upper here. We wipe our countertops.
Bounty.
Do you have Bounty, the coconut ones?
No, just the
Bounty bars
paper towels,
in Australia.
So I gotta rip these up.
Coconut in like chocolate, and it's really good. I like coconut.
Oh, man. It's the texture for me.
Yeah, I can't do it.
It's just the stringiness.
They will take a bullet for Tim Tams in Australia. That is like their official food.
Yeah, and I actually, I think I sent something to Max because there's like a backstory of why Tim Tams are called what they are. It was
the horse.
Yeah. Yep. A guy came over. He was making this new candy bar. He went to the Kentucky Derby. And he said, I'm going to name my candy bar if the Kentucky Derby winner. Tim Tam wins the Derby. And there's the name of the candy bar.
Yeah, I brought in about 50 or 60 packs to the medical staff one time, and they were gone within the week. So, and they seemed to enjoy them.
Does Tim Tam the horse get royalties on that?
He should. By God.
Well, because you sent me the list, and some of the horses that could have won would have been hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
On that Mike Leach interview, and you know me, I'm the last person to cry, why are we doing this? But wasn't it a little weird doing it on the field post-game? Usually that's like a after practice, midweek, goofing off.
Yeah.
I mean, you just killed Vanderbilt, and you're standing on their field ranking your candies. I mean, I'm not against it. I was surprised it kind of happened.
It was at least the second question, you know? Mm-hmm. You normally get two. So, like, and I would imagine that normally the SEC network, like, you have to time up your shots with Leach because, Freddie, as you know, he can be really boring and dry during those press conferences. And it's all it's just every once in a while he'll take something and run with it. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just like, you know what? We got to shoot our shot today.
Yeah. I love his press conferences. I think he's hilarious for me. I mean, I really like watching him go off on tangents of – strange stuff. I like it.
I love all of them. His marriage or wedding planning one.
Oh, that one was perfect.
My point, it's just I've never seen it done immediately after a game like that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was hilarious.
Which, by the way, if you all were planning a wedding, just Mike Leach's advice is perfect.
I have it memorized.
Yeah, because the hardest part about wedding planning is providing input and acting like you care without actually care. Like, because you don't care about anything, Drew, right? Like, you're
not much. It's a very short list.
Right. And so you just have to act like – and you want to try to agree with whatever they're saying too.
But like you're saying, without making it too obvious.
Right.
Because like if you're just like, yeah, that's awesome, then you get the – you don't care. You're just saying that so we can stop wedding planning, which is true. But it's a slippery slope.
Max, I'm sure when you well down the road, you're going to do great with wedding planning. That sounds like something you just can't wait to do.
Yeah, that's well down the track, though. I think that's about 30 to 40 years away, probably.
This is very bad radio, but I appreciate that it is maybe the coldest day in Lexington so far, and you are rocking some floral Hawaiian-style shorts.
Yeah. May or may not have not slept in my apartment last night and still wearing the clothes that I was wearing yesterday. So yesterday's clothes thing.
Yeah, you know. We're just going to roll with that.
A little warmer yesterday.
Yeah. A little bit warmer
yesterday. Been hanging out with Miles Butler too much. That's what I've been doing.
gets you into a ton of trouble.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of yesterday, we need to get to a quick break. This is something new. We need to get to a quick break because we got to talk about the bye week. And a lot happened. We're going to talk about that right after this. So, Drew Franklin, are you still high on the taste of victory? Because your Tennessee Titans, are they the greatest football team to ever play football?
They're getting pretty dang close. I have four sports teams, Kentucky basketball, Kentucky football, the Tennessee Titans, and the Braves. And Kentucky football and the Titans have been a pretty, we'll just say, disappointing bunch.
Know, it's just
– I love them, and they're probably my two favorites, to be honest. But the current run they're both on, I mean, this is a heater. Then throw the Braves in. We got basketball firing back up. But specifically the Titans and Kentucky football, I am soaking in every second of this because it's all so brand new. And when that, you know, Braves go to the World Series on Saturday, Titans kill the Chiefs on Sunday, I wanted to go to Starkville Monday morning and play that game now to see how long we can ride this heater.
There was a part of me that saw that Derrick Henry touchdown pass and was just like, my God, Benny, if you could have done that just once, we would still be running the Wildcat. I just always wanted to see the Wildcat have the one touchdown pass. He almost overthrew him, but it was still a touchdown. That was awesome.
And after he just single-handedly destroyed the Bills the week before, the media still wasn't getting on board the Derrick Henry MVP train, saying he's not a quarterback. And I love that his response was the first drive after hearing that for a week was throwing a touchdown pass saying, eat it. But you're right. I would have loved to seen that at Kentucky too.
Do you have an NFL team, Max?
He's waiting for them to call.
Yeah.
I have a lot that I don't like because they haven't called. No, I do not. Not really. I used to I mean, I'm a Mahomes. I like watching Patrick Mahomes play. Although he
did you watch yesterday?
Recently, it's been like he like
what's wrong?
He seems bored. Like, actually seems really bored. And the coach, I think, doesn't help him out because they come up with, like, two or three of the most creative plays each week. And unless they're doing those plays, all the offensive guys don't care what they're doing because they're like, we've got three fun plays in this week. We're going to execute those. And then all the boring plays, like, who cares? Like, they had that lateral. I've always said they should hook and ladder every single play in football. It works so well. And yesterday they had the big Travis Kelce one. He actually lateraled it, like, 15 to 20 yards. They got the first down on that one. They love playing when they were doing that stuff. And then every other play, they don't care.
It really is weird that it's almost like the regular football for them. They've gotten bored with it, but that's what's killing them because they're
– Yep.
Like Mahomes, has, I think, leads the league in turnovers or is close to
it. Yeah, because every play he's trying to throw something sidearm or behind his back or over his head or something like that. They're just literally bored of playing football.
I have a theory that he can't focus on the game because he's so worried about what his brother is doing on TikTok during the game.
So I'm not as I put my old man stake in the ground and was like, I'm not downloading TikTok. Can you explain to non-TikTokers Patrick Mahomes' brother?
I can't. I'm not a fan. I'll admit that. He just likes to do some weird dances at whatever venue the Chiefs are playing in. Last week he did it on Sean Taylor's 21 that caused quite a stir. He had to apologize for that. But
I could see Freddie's face just like sink when he heard that.
There's a lot of cringeworthy stuff on the internet, and Jackson Mahomes is number one for me.
Dancing on Sean Taylor's number?
That ain't good.
Like that's
no. That's just, no.
He maintains he didn't know. Maybe he didn't, but it's just it's
Sean Taylor.
Yeah, it's
what.
Here's what he did at the Titans game. This will be good radio. But this is the kind of stuff he does.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the stuff he does at every stadium.
Oh, man. Oh,
so I have a theory that Patrick's just constantly worrying about what Jackson is doing in the stadium at that moment.
More important, I just voted Wasper.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Freddie.
A wasp versus a wasper?
Yeah. Okay. I've never known anybody to use the term wasp.
Yeah, I got stung by a wasp, yeah.
It's always a wasper.
Never been stung by a bee.
Just a wasp.
Just a wasp.
Bird.
Yeah. Never heard wasper until today. Max, you know what a wasp is?
What is going on? What's a wasper? A wasp?
Yeah. He calls it a wasper.
In east and south of I-75, it's called wasper.
Okay.
Everywhere else in the world, I guess it's called wasp.
You guys just...
And in the dictionary.
Yeah. Which is wrong.
Okay.
By the way, the poll results are 75% wasp, 25%. I think 25% is a great turnout for a word that's not a real word.
I would agree. I would concur. Freddie, you sound like you had a great time in the mountains.
Hey, listen, I'm still in that mode. My accent is probably worser than it was before. Had a great visit. Great visit. Letcher County Central, host. Beautiful facility. Johnson Central is a real deal. Peaking at the right time. Grant Bingham is a dude. Mm-hmm. I sent you that text last year and this year both, but I used another word in front of dude. I stayed at the Benham Inn, which is haunted. It's an old school that's now a hotel. Headless Annie roams about on Pine Mountain. Black Mountain, rather.
Did you see her?
No, but I did hear lockers just opening and shutting. I didn't sleep for the time I was down there because I was a little scared.
You stayed at a bed and breakfast and didn't sleep.
Yeah, I was a little scared. You go to your car, Max, and there's a big sign, don't feed the bears. There's bears everywhere. So,
okay.
Bears and ghosts.
Yeah, I wouldn't be venturing outside of the room.
Yeah.
Are you more afraid of ghosts or bears, Max?
Bears.
Okay.
Yeah, I think what's a ghost really going to do? You can walk through a ghost.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I can't walk through a bear.
No, they could walk through you.
Yeah, for 100%.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
I got worried getting text from Freddie late Friday night that he might not come back to Lexington. He loved it down there.
Yeah, I wasn't going to come back.
Same with Henderson. One of these game of the week trips, he's just going to say.
Everywhere I go, Glasgow. Drew, I'm not coming back.
He's going to call one of us and say, here's my keys under the mat. Go box up my things and ship them to Taylor County.
Oh, man. I swear I do love going to these little communities. I mean, they're all so unique, you know. It's really fun. Y'all need to get out go well.
I'm getting out to a couple this year. I think I might be – actually, no, I'm moving Friday. That's a terrible idea. I want to go to the Mail Manual game Friday. Yeah. Old rivalry.
Man,
my wife teaches at Mail, and they're already like – it's basically like a second homecoming week, and all the kids are already pissed at Manual. Like, it's a very good old-fashioned like, –
there's some great games this week.
Yeah, last week
you know
the
what's coming
season.
Back this year? This Friday?
What's coming back?
The Kroger KSR Hometown Classic, the bowl game.
We're back.
We're back. It's not going to be Jackson County and Shawnee.
Okay.
It's going to be somewhere else, but yes. Oh. And then we'll also have folks at the Douglas Bull County game, which is another big
nice.
Game. Yeah. Troy would be at Douglas Bull County.
That'll be the day after the Dane commitment announcement ceremony that will be going down Thursday night.
What do y'all think on that one? So I spent the day with Dante, and I don't know.
So here's the thing. I
didn't want to know.
We need to commend the Keys for doing a good job in an era of everybody finding out announcements well before announcements. Like, they are not showing their hand at all.
Hey, listen, Dante is a friend of mine, and I spent 4 hours watching college football with him at Ryan Lemon's house Saturday, and I don't know.
And you know what?
I did tell him this. I said – if it's not UK, I'm going to egg your house. I'm just going to tell you right now.
fighting.
If he brings out an announcement video, are you going to ruin the fun for everyone like you did with Wandale and just announce it early before everyone's finished the video?
Oh, you always skip to the end. You can't watch this the whole – you skip right to the end, and then you bada-boom, bada-bing, make it go public.
Nobody cares about the videos. No offense, kids. We want to know – we've got to get right to the news. Put the hat on already.
And what's fun, though, is going back later and watching the video. So, like, Caden Mormon from Frankfurt, he brought his dog out, and his dog is a freaking beast. It's like one of those big-ass pit bulls. So, you know, they have some fun times, but you got to skip to the end to see. But I got to – for as much as, you know, like Dante's friends with a bunch of people in media, that could have easily been like a dog and pony show, you know, like, but like Ryan has been, I'm just glad that they've let Dane enjoy this without making it too crazy. Yeah. And then they've been able to let him still make his decision without it. You
Dante
know.
And I have an agreement. I mean, in all seriousness, I told, and I don't want to know that, don't want, whatever. I mean, I'm out of it. And but they've done a tremendous job, like you said, of keeping this close to the family. I mean, I honestly do not know.
But let's be honest, Max, who would want to go catch footballs at the University of South Carolina right now?
No one. And you'd want to be catching Will Levis passes too, because he's just getting better and better and better. Like that, we should get any wide receiver we want at the moment in the country, or any athlete, because he's like getting better every
he's
single
getting
week.
Better and better. He's going to be back next year. And that is
– he is getting better.
You brought up the – before we move on to Will, because we need to talk about just how much he's improved over recent weeks, but the other receiver that could be popping soon, five-star wide receiver Berrian Brown, he's a little bit of a wild card, loose cannon. That's – hey, bring him on. Bring him on. I love it. And I love the speed. I love that he's saying, hey, I want to be the show. All right, we'll come to Kentucky. Need receivers, need talent. There are 4 or 5 guys out there right now, and Dane could be the first one on Thursday, where there are top 250 players in the country that could be joining Kentucky. You have Dane Key. You've got Berrian Brown. Emil Wagner, Ahmad's little brother that's offensive tackle. He's a top 150 player in the country. And then Deion Walker, who I had kind of written off because he's a Michigan kid. Dude's the size of Jordan Davis right now. He can be a difference maker on your defensive line that you just don't – all of these guys right there, Kentucky's kind of in the driver's seat for all of them. You just have to keep winning, keep that momentum rolling, and you could have your best recruiting class ever.
And with Key and Berrian Brown, I know Dante played here, but Kentucky is not even in the conversation without Liam Cohen Will Levis and what they've shown them. Him being at those games that have been so fun and showing him airing it out, whatever he picks, and I'm with you, I don't know either, but I'm counting on it being Kentucky just because it seems like they've shown him everything he needed to see. And the same for Brown and the next receiver that's going to take the phone call. It's a completely different ball game right now.
Oh, man. Playmakers.
Need them.
And that's what brings us to the injury update. We'll see.
We'll see. We got like triple wheel seed today.
Oh, quadruple wheel seed.
It's better than quadruple no.
It's true.
I'm probably going to say no on Marquand, though.
See, I was even surprised we got a we'll see on Mark.
Yeah, Warren. I'm not optimistic on that. It doesn't sound like any of the guys that were mentioned today practiced at all last week, which, I mean, why would you? It's a bye week. But Jatom McClain got thrown in there. Isaiah Cummings, you had
Josh Ali.
Josh Ali and Marquand McCall. Josh Ali is one that I think is possible, but we won't even have a hunch until later in the week.
And the most important.
Yes, because –
you can't have another week with
just one
what day. Happened at Georgia.
Right.
Mississippi
right.
State's too good defensively for that to happen.
I don't know Ali's progress, but I know about 4 weeks ago Mississippi State was the goal. Now, I don't know if they're on that timeline, but the hope and the plan was to have him ready this week.
Yes, so hopefully that can be the case with Cummings. I think that's probably an out for a little bit, just my hunch. I mean, if you're working Trayvon Morgan at tight end, it's probably a good excuse to put him down there just because that kid's going to end up being a tight end anyway. So, you know, why not have an injury kind of push him down there? But Cummings he's looked the part and he's given that position a little bit of wiggle. So, I mean, I haven't looked at the numbers, but I would think if you had Ollie and Cummings out, that's probably two of your top four targets, yeah, receivers. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know. Levis can't throw it to himself. He's not Bugs Bunny on first, Bugs Bunny on second.
To show you how reliant Kentucky is on Wondell Robinson, Josh Ali's missed two games and still the second leading receiver with 17 catches.
Yeah.
That's lopsided.
I know might not be this week, but Dekel Crowdis isn't too far away. Is there any chance he could help at all? I know he's been out all year and he's a true freshman, but I know he's getting a little closer.
You get into that four-game thing because there's only five games left.
See, yeah.
You could honestly see him playing against New Mexico State, Vanderbilt, and in the bowl game.
Here's where I think.
And Louisville.
That's because
probably.
I might have heard that there might be a chance that he could play. So, if you worked it – I remember J.J. Weaver playing not the last four games. They, like, picked and choose those – pick, you know. Maybe this is like you play Dekel versus Mississippi State, but you don't play him against New Mexico State.
If you thought he could help right away, you'd want to use him in the big games and sit him out against Vandy and New Mexico State. Then there's your four.
But I do just wonder, like, hey, how much can he give you when he hasn't played all year? He's a true
freshman.
Hasn't played
ever.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like that's
– do you want a true freshman making their debut
– at Starkville with those cowbells, which – Max, I don't think anybody – like, you can't know how bad the cowbells are until you go.
That's correct. It's not a super fun place to play, that's for sure, especially when they start getting their tails up a little bit. It gets really, really loud. And I don't think anyone enjoys those cowbells because they're just so annoying. Like, you're just standing there, and it's just like, man, this is going to happen all day. I don't know how the players from Mississippi State enjoy that.
Yeah.
And don't ask them to, like, can we get a new tradition?
Because, like – It legitimately hurts your ears.
Yeah. I saw Soups said today in his press conference that he's been petitioning for us to be able to use air horns or something. Is that right? Is that
what he said? And I got to be honest, I'm all for it. I don't feel like the SEC would permit that, but we could find 60,000 air horns.
It's the coal whistle. You know, we just got 60,000 air horn coal whistles.
Was it you that tweeted about the fan that wanted to make everyone wear the gloves for the clapping?
He DM'd me, and I thought it was a great idea. Yeah. It was like, true, it's louder clap when you're wearing rubber gloves, and they're only, you know, this amount of dollars for 60,000 people.
God, how great would it be if everybody showed up with the yellow rubber gloves?
Plus, you know, we still got a little bit of pandemic going on. We're being safe. The SEC can't get mad at us. I think it's perfect. What would happen if we all got on the same page with, like, one sound on our phones that we could maybe 60,000 people were hitting some kind of alarm on their
just
phones.
The alarm would be so annoying, too. Because that's the worst sound in the whole world. When that alarm goes off and wakes you up, it's like, man. So if we could just get everyone to play that alarm.
Or the Dumb and Dumber van noise.
Most annoying sound in the world.
Ah!
I think we're onto something with the cell phone alarm. We all set our alarms for, like, you know, 8:15 in the Tennessee game and just hope they have the ball.
That'd be pretty great. Like, good. I like where our brains are going. I like where our brains are going. But if you are going to the game, seriously, buy earplugs before you go. Like, somebody said that to me before. I didn't do that, and my ears hurt the next day. You should.
How do they get away with that?
They got a special rule.
They made him. They actually made him take it away for like a year, and then they like ended up getting an exemption for it. I don't know how. But hell, I was even so. Sometimes I can't do cartoons with Duke. He just, like, I'm cartooned out.
I thought you meant he didn't want to. He wanted to watch ball or something.
Well, yeah, he does like watching ball. Football, he can't keep up with as well because he doesn't see the ball. You know, like it's in their hand. It's a little bit harder to follow than like basketball. Soccer is one that is very easy, and he just ball. So I was watching. I turned on a Mississippi State Texas A&M women's soccer game on the SEC Network, and they even have the cowbells at the women's soccer games. Thank God they don't allow for the basketball games, because imagine that indoor just bouncing off the walls. Like, that'd give you what's that that thing where you can't stop hearing, like y'all know what I'm talking about? That like
PTSD of hearing.
Yeah, but that's like a thing where you just hear like a ringing in your ear. Gosh.
It is unfair they get to do it because it is, an extra intimidating factor that no one else gets to do.
I also need to question, like, Neil Price willingly moved there to John Cohen, too. Like, wait, I just don't understand. I will say, though, there are some lovely people that have enjoyed their time in Starkville. They've got a meteorology school down there. Mm-hmm. So a lot of weather people are Starkville alums. They're nice folks.
Vet school.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
But you notice they all leave the moment they get their degree.
Yeah, they really do. Man.
If I was a kicker, though, and I went to Mississippi State and I was kicking a game winner as an away team, it would probably put me off more if the whole crowd was just silent than if it was actually the cowbells.
That's a good point.
I've always thought any like home fans should have a moment where they just all go silent, because I think that would be almost more off-putting than the sound.
It's like when you do the free throw shot and everybody gets quiet. That's almost more stressful.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
I think it should just be dead silence.
But Vanderbilt has already tried this every Saturday, and they're still losing.
Oh man,
$4 tickets this weekend.
Oh,
is that it?
Yeah, versus Missouri, because the Grant McInnes showing at Vanderbilt is going to be watched by about 10 people. And it's, $4 tickets. It was $1 for the UConn game.
$1?
Yeah.
Did you all see the Arizona football tweet?
I did not
see
the
Arizona Wildcats. They tweeted Saturday, sponsored so-and-so automatic seat upgrade. If you're coming to the game, reply to this tweet and we will upgrade your seats. And they got zero replies on the entire day.
Zero?
It's like, all you have to do is respond to this tweet. We will move you to lower bowl or upgrade your seats. And they got zero replies, suggesting that of the people following Arizona football on Twitter, none of them were going to the game.
Well, Kansas just opened the gates up on the weekend, too.
Right. So they just said, we're not
– they just said, hey, if you want to come down and come in, we're not charging anyone. You can come in through the gate.
Hey, it worked.
And then all the fans came in. Then they started losing, so everyone left again.
College football's crazy. Did you, Drew? I know you saw the lunatics after the LSU game on the radio.
The post game show.
My word!
What was that quote he had about? I'm gonna pull your drawers up.
I'm gonna pull your drawers up your butt crack. He said he was on. These are two co-hosts from LSU post game show arguing over whether Billy Napier could go from Lafayette to Baton Rouge. I mean, it just
so. So the Raging Cajuns won. I know the punter there. The Raging Cajuns won on Friday night or Thursday night or whatever it was. And Napier said, it's really, really tough because they're SBC, their Sun Belt Conference.
Yes.
He said it's really, really tough to get a win in the SEC West. So let's look after this. And they're like, SEC West? Don't you mean SBC, coach? And he's like, yeah. Sorry, my bad. And then the players started an LS Who chant in the locker room because of that, and Napier refused to do it with them.
Oh,
so,
man.
I don't know.
So he's jockeying for that job.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is that is crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I thought of something earlier, Max, that just dawned on me that I was going to ask. It got me distracted because Matt Wells got fired at Texas Tech today at 5-2.
I didn't see that. That's tough.
5-2, and he gets fired. They just were like, you know what? We don't want you to win anymore. We want a new coach. So, Max, you've said oftentimes that, you know, Pro Kick Australia was just like, you know what? Kentucky needs a kicker. You're going to Kentucky.
A punter, yeah.
Yeah. You kick, you punt. Yeah, I mean, okay. You punt when you kick. But, okay. Here's my thing, Max.
Yep.
What would have happened if you got shipped off to Starkville, Mississippi. You had no idea what Mississippi State was, and you just show up to Davis Wade Stadium.
I don't know, but Pin It Deep, Mississippi State would have been interesting. I was supposed to go to UCLA. And then they said, And then I was supposed to go to Memphis, and Memphis also said, nah, we would like something a little better than this. Literally. And so then I was like, Kentucky was like, they knew Coach Hood. And so I ended up coming to Kentucky. But they were the schools I was supposed to go to.
Westwood would have been not a bad place to go to school for a few years.
Yeah.
It's a lot like Lexington, Kentucky. UCLA. Yeah. It's pretty much there right now.
Yeah. And we both wear blue as well, so it's very similar.
There's a much weaker blue.
Yeah, no, I'm
the sissy blue.
I'm happy I ended up where I ended up. It's been awesome. I don't think I would have enjoyed Mississippi State.
Just showing up there. That's one of those schools. Is like when Joker said he wouldn't, or no, T. Martin said he wouldn't tell kids to come on visits. Oh, because he didn't want them to see the old Kentucky. That's the old Kentucky. This is the new Kentucky. After Kentucky beats Mississippi State, it will be a third straight sellout at Kroger Field for the Tennessee game. A night kickoff. We're not looking ahead, Freddie, but I just wanted people to know that it is going to be a night kickoff. It's going to be a raucous atmosphere at Kroger Field here in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm not looking ahead. I'm not looking ahead at bowl projections for the Peach Bowl or the Citrus Bowl. But
rat poison.
I'm not looking ahead, but I need tickets. If anyone has them, I forgot to buy them for the sellout.
For Tennessee?
Yeah.
Franco doesn't have any?
We got family and friends rolling in deep. I think I could fill a section with Franklin friends and family.
Yeah, I do too.
And my dad will be wearing the most orange you've ever seen. And I'm going to sit next to him and just yell at him the whole game.
And you forgot to get tickets.
I did. We'll work it out. It's going to be a beatdown.
Is it already a sellout, is it?
Oh, it's sold out. Like
I'm not used to UK
before.
Sellouts. This is new.
And it's sold out, too, like weeks and weeks in advance, not the week of.
I had a friend call me and seriously, 100% sincerely, asked me if I could get him 5 tickets.
No.
The cheapest ones on StubHub are over $100. That's up top.
I do appreciate that in our line of work that people just assume that we can get tickets.
It's amazing.
I don't even get them for myself.
I would love to get tickets, too.
I don't go to the games. I watch them from home. So I give mine away.
Now, Max, I'm sure he's just rolling in the tickets. Just pin it deep. You have all of your groupies.
I just hand them out at the games. I'm lucky enough that I don't really like it. I like to be amongst the people, but I do get to partake in the sweet life at
him and Cash. There we go.
Which is good.
I like Max just shows up to any gate around the stadium holding his Ray Guy Award, and that's his ticket.
That's
yeah, come on in.
Ticket for life.
Well, and I've been able to – I've got the great thing where I can go on the field pregame at the moment,
kinda
which has been really cool
bit.
To go down there and just talk to the guys and that. That's actually awesome.
You got the K-Club free ticket yet?
No.
You get a free ticket for life. You know that, right?
Okay, I did not know
that. Yeah, you do.
Okay.
It was the K-Club.
So get one for the Tennessee game. Give it to me, and you can go do whatever with your sweets that you do.
You get one for free and get the one, and you can buy the one next to it, but you automatically get one free forever.
There you go.
That's pretty awesome.
Now I might stay in Lexington forever.
Then. UCLA wouldn't have done that. Nah. Memphis wouldn't have done that.
Nah. UCLA don't even sell. I saw their games, too. They were not sold out for sure.
So this is I know that Drew, you've discussed it a little bit with Matt Jones. I'm sure you've discussed it with someone, Pin It Deep, Max, but I haven't personally talked to you since you were trying to play catch up on Friday night in Athens. All in all, I'm curious how the first KS road trip lived up to your expectations.
I'm not sure I had any expectations, to be honest, but
that's probably a good thing.
It was good. We hit the over, we were saying, for U-turns by about 100. And then Matt tried to argue. We literally U-turned, and Matt tried to argue that it wasn't a U-turn.
Yeah, I counted one more.
It was literally a U-turn. I don't know why he thought it wasn't. He's like, that wasn't a U-turn. It's like, well, we went in the shape of a U and went back to where we were coming from. So I don't know what you call that, but okay. But no, it was interesting. I didn't enjoy the music that much. Me and Drew didn't get a say in what gets played on the radio. The route we took was not direct.
No.
The funniest part of the whole trip actually was coming back, and we stopped at the Chinese restaurant on the way back and did a show live from the Chinese restaurant. And the lady in the Chinese restaurant that was picking up her food to go just started like almost an all-in brawl with the people that were working there about our food. And we pretty much had to stop the show because they were just shouting so loud.
Did Matt tell you about the crater in Middlesbrough?
Oh, he saw the crater.
I saw the chain rock.
Yeah.
Floodgates.
Yeah,
the
chain rock's great.
Did you see the floodgates in Pineville?
Yeah. We saw it all. It was unbelievable. We went to Middlesbrough High School. That was cool.
It was like a history lesson of Eastern Kentucky. Then he learned a little bit about Daniel Boone crossing over the Cumberland
Gap. Have you ever
gap?
Seen the $6 million man?
No, but I was told that story because he's from Middlesbrough, right?
Yeah.
Matt denies it, and Max has already told the story, but when we passed the Matt Jones sign, Matt almost missed it and locked up the brakes so we could – I thought we were going
to
run through
it. He took both his hands off the steering wheel to double point at the sign, and as he was moving his left hand across to double point, I think he hit the steering wheel – and we veered off, and then he had to pull it back. But he made sure he pointed at the sign.
Did you see the Macy Moore sign?
No, but I've heard it's spelt wrong.
It's spelt wrong.
Yeah.
What?
M-A-C-Y.
What's crazy?
How did they?
As you go into Bell County. Yeah.
What's crazy, that's been there for years now, and they've acknowledged that it's misspelled, but not lifted a finger to fix it.
Yeah.
My favorite sign is actually not in that county. It's when you're going into whatever county Barberville's in.
Knox.
And I'm pretty sure there's like a – Miss Little Teen, or not even, it's like a little beauty pageant queen, like Little Miss Kentucky 2014 one. That's the one that I really appreciate because, like, she's going to be up there forever.
Yeah. Listen, Eastern Kentucky is proud of their notable residents. I think all the counties have welcomed
I just always hated that because in city of Louisville, like, there's so much happening there. You don't get the cool signs.
It's
you
Diane's
know?
Louisville and Muhammad's Louisville. I don't know if we'll ever get Roush's Louisville.
No, we don't know. Exactly. We don't get the little home of the – no, it's –
But don't give up. One day,
I'll get my
Ball County is really cool, and Danville.
See, I'd like to go to Ball County because of Jackson plays there. Obviously, he's kicking and he's coming in next. I'd like to go out.
They
there.
Have a neat sign because they've won a gazillion state championships, and so does really Danville High School. So two schools. So there's two
competing
giant,
ones.
Yeah.
It's the real title town.
I would hope that it's almost like the Tim Couch jersey for the Browns where they just kept adding to the bottom. Mm-hmm. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, they just start eventually hanging paper off the bottom of the
It's a neat stadium, too. You'd like it there.
Okay.
Yeah. Danville's a cool little city.
Okay.
Yeah. Danville's a lot like Starkville, right?
I've lost
time. Don't do that to Danville.
College town kind of
Well,
deal.
I'm all in on Middlesbrough this year because I went to Middlesbrough High School. So I'm hoping they're still undefeated, are they?
Yes, they are.
Very good.
But they're not going to get past the LCA.
It's all right.
LCA is good.
Yeah.
Certified good. Speaking of good.
It's a cool town, though.
You know what else is good?
What?
I'm hanging on the edge of my seat.
You guys tell me. I thought I had a segue there or something, but I kind of. You know what else is
good? I'll
tell
you what was good. Kentucky opening as a dog. That was good.
Oh, to the Bulldogs?
To the Bulldogs.
It took 2 hours or even an hour for us to become the favorites. So the money must have just been piled on.
Yeah. I live in Kentucky. We don't get to gamble here. You go to hell. So I have to go through channels. I have to go through, like, Costa Rica with Bitcoin and some shadiness. And they just weren't up. By the time I get to it, it'll be -5.
Yeah.
Wish I could have had some of that, though.
I don't know how this podcast operates in terms of being overconfident, whether you're allowed to be or not, but I always feel like I'm on the podcast, I'm not playing, so who cares?
Yeah.
We should win this game by like 28.
Oh, that much?
Yeah.
That would be a cover.
See, Max, on me, I'm this game worries me though.
No.
And it's not for
Bye came at the perfect time. We're playing good, we're a really good football team. We'll win by like 21-28.
Okay. So counterpoint. Kentucky is 4-1 off the last 5 bye weeks under Mark Stoops, but 1-4 against the spread.
Okay.
So he wins, but he wins close. They don't always play clean. Kentucky's won in Athens more recently. They've won in Starkville. That place is just a nightmare.
The law of averages would suggest that it's time then, right?
Okay. Now, the law of averages might also say, too, that Mississippi State has lost some one-score games. Kentucky's won a lot of one score games. Maybe the ball is going to bounce the other way.
No. I think we're honestly going to murder him. And the Tennessee game will be close, but this game will be over at halftime.
This is coming from a guy who was just at the facility this morning.
I was.
That's true.
He would know more than us. When we gave our predictions to start the year, I was very confident in season. I think I had 9-3, which at the time was, I think, very confident. But
now it's looking cowardice.
This was one of the three.
This was on my mind too.
I've been worried about this one since before the season began.
Freddie, now you weigh in. How are you feeling going into this game? I know you were very adamant last year going to the Mississippi State game. You were ready to shut up the air raid. In Kentucky, shut up the air raid.
Yeah.
Now
– this air raid's better than last year's.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to see improvement at corner, at the top of routes. I want to see that doesn't concern me, but that is a thought of how the corners are going to compete out there, because Mississippi State gets such wide splits in alignment. That is something I want to see. And then reestablishing a run game, this against one of the ranked third in the SEC, only giving up 93 yards. This is a game Kentucky has to get right on the ground. That's also a crowd that if you turn the football over,
can go from
really loud to really annoyingly loud. So I think Kentucky is a better team than Mississippi State.
And Mississippi State struggled. Like, they play really well, and Leach teams play really well against bad teams. And then when they play good teams, it goes the other way. They get blown. Yeah. That's why I'm pretty confident about us, because I think we are a good team. And historically, his teams don't play well against good teams.
The Alabama game was telling for me.
Yeah. I mean, Alabama smacked them.
Yeah, Alabama beat them. Well, could have beat them by 100. Yeah.
The thing, too, about their rushing stat, like, because I saw that rush defense number, and I was like, man, that's really good. But then you look at the teams they played, and the only team that runs the ball well out of anybody they played, Texas A&M, had 150 on the ground, and Isaiah Spiller had 100 yards rushing against him.
Louisiana Tech is not going to be dedicated to the run.
No.
Memphis, North Carolina State's around. That in my opinion, that's the game that would concern me, is beating North Carolina State 24-10. North Carolina State's not bad. So,
whoa, that's the nicest thing I think you've ever said about an ACC football team.
Yeah, they're not bad. But then lose to Memphis, even though it was
weird,
crazy.
Yeah.
But losing to Memphis, barely beating Louisiana Tech, you don't know which Mississippi State teams you're going to get.
Right, right.
And if things go bad in the air raid early, it goes bad for four quarters. It's really rare, that you see them circle back around and do things. But with that offense, you're never out of a game, per se. And it's just but I do think Kentucky's a better team, and Kentucky should win the football game, yes.
That's where my only thing. So I will. The first quarter is going to tell a lot about this game for me, Max, because Kentucky, if you come out looking ready to play, and Stoops has at least insisted that, it's been all gas.
They'll 100% be ready
at practice. So if they can come out and start fast like they have in, I think, every game except the Chattanooga game, then I'll feel a lot better. I'll be able to exhale some. But those damn cowbells, it's a nightmare. It's just a nightmare, and I hope Kentucky does not walk into a nightmare, because right now everything is in front of us.
I feel super confident too, because Chris Rodriguez had his worst game of his life against Georgia, and he's had 2 weeks to think about it.
Oh, gosh.
And, like, you just wouldn't want to be the linebacker standing in his way, especially on the first run, because I know Chris has been thinking about that for 2 weeks. He's a beast, so there's no way that teams are going to keep him down for 2 weeks.
Man. Love this confidence from Max. It's what we needed.
I love it.
Both of us are just
– well, it's not the teams or the people on the field. It's just some places are hard to win.
It's
and there's
Starkville.
A reason it's been since 2008. I mean, Kentucky's had some good teams and some teams that should have won down there, but there's just something – it must be because they're sleeping on beds with bed bugs the night before and there's nothing to do, and then you get out and see all those miserable people tailgating, then the cowbells.
It is the worst hotel to stay at.
See?
Yeah.
You stay like 45 minutes away.
Yeah.
I think they take them out to eat at Walmart. I mean.
Where did y'all stay?
I can't remember.
Tupelo?
But it's like you normally stay in like really nice hotels, and then at Mississippi State you're in like a – I don't know. I don't want to discount any places that
– You can discount
people.
All of them.
I don't know. You just
stayed. Yeah, we stayed the same place. Yeah.
It's
like
terrible.
The ones you walk straight
Columbus,
outside
Georgia.
Of the parking lot from your room is one of those, like a motel.
Yeah, and the beds haven't been made since the prior guests were in there.
Yeah, the rooms – the door opens to the outside. So that's a
motels
where we stay.
Yeah, yeah.
You probably do the walkthrough in the parking lot because they don't have a conference room.
Yeah. Well, it's better than the Southern Miss walkthrough that they had to do in the strip joint.
It was strip mine. It was an old strip mine.
Oh, yeah. That's, Hattiesburg's finest.
Another thing to point out, Charles Cross is a SEC lineman of the week, left tackle. That's going to get the Josh Pascal matchup. That's going to be a good matchup on Saturday. If Kentucky can't create a pass rush at nose and a defensive tackle, Rodgers will have all day. And then if he does that, if that happens, you're going to have to start blitzing somewhere, somehow. When you do that, that's how Mississippi State can hurt you on those crossing routes if you have to go to man coverage. So the pass rush is going to be key with the three organic defensive linemen.
Kentucky's got to time up their shots wisely.
And then time them up wisely, yeah. And make sure you don't get hurt on the blitz, yeah.
Man, it'd be nice if we could see Will Levis time up some bombs too, wisely.
Man. I'm almost more confident in that defense, though, going down there. I know it's the air raid, and we've touched on it, but, I mean, they've given up, like, 9 points to that team in Lexington the last couple of years. Was it 2 last year and 7 before that?
Yeah.
These guys know how to shut them down. They didn't do it last time in Starkville. That's when Sawyer Smith, and we had a banged-up quarterback.
Yeah.
But I think this defense is not afraid of whatever's going to come out, and they're going to have a good game.
And it would have been a shutout last year had it not been for an errant, a long snapper, just throwing it 50 miles
over my head.
That
was a great kick, by the way. It, out of the end zone.
Oh, the little toe poke?
Yeah, you gave it a ride.
Yeah, no, I was happy with that one for sure. Yeah. I was actually kicking it at Cole Kublik because he was down there and I missed him.
Oh,
I like Cole. I like him, but I was just trying to hit him because I thought
that'd
be funny.
What was going through your head when that happened?
When they threw it over my head?
Yeah.
I was like...
I forgot that was Max.
First, I was like, wow, thanks for that, Cade. And then I had a quick glance to see if they were all coming in on me. And when I realized they were just a little bit off, I was like, thankfully, I've got time to kick this through. But I knew the rule that it was really close because the ball actually sat up on me a little bit. I knew the rule that I had to kick it through from in the end zone. Because if I kick that from the 1 yard line, they can take the ball from the 1 yard line.
Gosh, that's
crazy. I didn't know that rule.
That's a dumb rule. Because I'm pretty sure in the pros, you can kick it from anywhere.
And
it's fine.
Then we had to do the kick after safety.
Uh-huh.
And we had, for some strange reason, so that was obviously my third year playing. For some weird reason and perfect fate, the first time we had ever practiced kickoff after safety was the Tuesday of that week. Ever. And like of the 3 years, that was the first time we did it. And I think it was Coach Sumrall was running it or something. And he's like, hey, we're never going to need to use this probably. But I just was thinking about today and we should probably do it in case we get a safety ever. So let's just do it. He's like, do you want to do it or you want chance to kick off? And I'm like, no, I'll do it. Give it to me. He's like, all right, we practice it one time. So we just ran through and hit it so they could do the timing up. And then that week, we get a safety. And it's like, oh, wow, okay, well, we know what we're doing now at least.
That's
oh,
why Summerall's a good coach. He knew. He knew what was coming.
He had a feeling.
Yeah.
Man. And I'm glad you've got a good feeling going into this game, Max. We need all the good vibes going into Starkville. It's the worst place in the Southeastern Conference.
In the world.
And we'll make it an even better place if Kentucky can escape with a win. Max, thanks for joining us.
Thanks
filling
for
in
me.
For Charles. He's
can't believe
he's
at a wedding on a
shaking.
Monday.
I know. Like, dude is always at weddings. Can't get over it. But Freddie, Drew, it's been fun. Listeners, you all are the best. Thanks for subscribing. Don't forget to listen to Luke Fortner on Pin It Deep with Max and Miles. They got new guests every week, so subscribe to their podcast. It's not as good as 11 Personnel, but it's okay. It's all right. Hey, we'll be back next week with more KSR Football Podcasts. Go Cats, beat State.
And peep the technique. Don't sweat the technique.